Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to VMB, the voice of Manhattan business, brought to you by the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, Bruce Hurwitz, one of the Chamber's ambassadors. Before I get to upcoming events on the Chamber's calendar, I am pleased to make a special announcement on behalf of our friends at the New York Public Library regarding their Blueprint program. The library is offering a free, award-winning 18-hour course on succession and exit planning for immigrant business owners at both the Brooklyn and Queens Public Libraries. The 6-workshop series will take place every other week over 3 months and is open to all immigrant-owned businesses throughout the 5 boroughs, including Manhattan. Applications are currently being accepted. As I said, the program is open to all business owners who are immigrants, meaning born outside the U.S., but the businesses must have been in operation for over 3 years, and they must also have more than 3 employees and revenues between $150,000 and $5 to $6 million. For details, dates, and to apply, visit nypl.org/blueprint. Again, NYPL, as in New York Public Library, .org/blueprint. Now for upcoming events on the Chamber's calendar. Tomorrow, I hope you'll be able to join me for a night of networking hosted by Raymore and Flanagan and Constant Contact. I always enjoy meeting our listeners, not to mention members. Also, tomorrow will be presentations on the new rules for leading a growing office and Blueprint for Success 2.0. On Friday, there will be a discussion on the Trade and Investment Partnership, as well as the Chamber's New Members Breakfast. Next Monday will be the Chamber's Quarterly Chairman's Breakfast and the MWBE Advanced Financial Management Program will be focused on understanding business credit versus personal credit. And next Wednesday, Cranes will be holding an Arts and Culture Breakfast and the Chamber's Quarterly Green Networking Breakfast will also take place. To learn about these and other events and to register, please visit the events page on the Chamber's website, www.manhattancc.org. I am delighted to be joined today by Oz Konar from Massive Action Consulting and Marketing. We will be discussing online marketing for small businesses. Please remember, the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 805-243-1301. Again, 805-243-1301. Oz, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bruce. It's a great pleasure to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's our pleasure. Tell us about yourself and your company.
Sure. I'd say that the company started because of my passion to understand consumer behavior, their buying patterns, and their buyer psychology, pretty much. Because at the end of the day, it always amazed me how people make a decision to choose a brand versus another, why they make the decisions they make when it comes to buying from a company versus another company. And based on that research, we took all of that data that we have and turned into marketing programs and strategies and products and use the existing tools out there and bring it down to small businesses, because that technology was only available to big companies, corporations with unlimited marketing budgets, but there was not much going on for small businesses who were struggling in the trenches every single day. And that's what we wanted to accomplish by bringing that understanding of the consumer and applying using the tools, the online tools, including social media, web design, and all the other pieces of online marketing I believe we're going to talk about, and make it available for small businesses. And recently I noticed that I'm not able to reach as many people as possible giving those tools and systems. What I did is I've taken everything that worked for our clients and all the strategies and systems and put it into a book. So I'll be publishing my second book in about 10 days. So it will be available through all the major booksellers, Barnes & Noble, Goodreads, and also Amazon, of course, as an ebook, and also as a paperback. Our company is not looking to make any money from this. This is going to be for sale for a couple of dollars. It's just for people to take that and use that information and start applying it for their business so they can grow exponentially.
Very good. Now, our topic, again, is online marketing for small businesses. What are the components of online marketing?
Yeah, you know, it's really difficult, Bruce, to divide online marketing into different components nowadays because now it's all interconnected. But if I were to do that, I would say there are three components of online marketing for small businesses. And the first one, I believe, starts with your website. Your website gives you the first impression about your company and your services, especially if you're not a brand name and you're trying to make a brand for yourself. It starts with your website and what kind of content, engaging content, you provide to the potential visitor. Because, you know, we're all distracted by so many different channels and people only give you, based on the research, 3 seconds for a brand that they never met before to make a decision to stay either on your website or move on to the competitor's website. That's the first component that you have to make sure that you do a good job with. If you don't have a website, you've got to have it, obviously. But if you do have it but you're not getting the results, just look into ways to get it optimized or do it yourself so you provide content that answers the questions in the minds of your consumers. The second piece would be your online presence through search engines, right? It might be nice to have the good-looking website and you provide great content, but if people can't find you, it's like having the best-looking billboard in the middle of a desert. But there's no traffic coming in. So it has to work hand-in-hand with your search engine results to make sure that people are able to find the services that you provide and you can compete with the big brands through your search engine. That's the second piece. The third piece, it acts as a social proof, I call it, your social media presence. Today, no matter what you're selling, what services you're offering, your clients are using some type of social media. It could be Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, or LinkedIn, whatever that is. You need to have your social presence, and you need to have it right. Because social media can make or ruin your brand. So you have to make sure that you follow a strategic system, not only to build your social media presence, but to constantly improve it. It also helps with your search engine optimization because you have as many channels as possible supporting your website. So those are the three components that they need to work hand-in-hand for you to have online, a successful online marketing system working for you.
Thank you. Yesterday, I gave a talk at the Science Industry and Business Library on building a personal brand for job seekers. Okay, so not business owners, but job seekers. And I focused on Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn, of course, which is the most important.
Absolutely.
But I'm sure you're acquainted with the site Hootsuite?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. So Hootsuite is a great tool. You can schedule tweets that go out on various social media networks. I have an account, and I usually don't use a PowerPoint, but I had PowerPoint screen up and the image of my Hootsuite account, and I showed that I have 5 social media links through Hootsuite, 2 LinkedIn accounts, a Twitter account, a Facebook account, and a Google Plus account. Now, the reason that I have a Google Plus account is because I went to a Google Plus event that was sponsored by the Chamber, and they signed us up. I don't even remember the last time I went there, but I get messages all the time that people have joined my circles or added me to a circle.
Right.
I'm not even sure what a circle is. My point is this. I just mentioned Google Plus in passing. It hadn't been featured at all in my presentation. Like I said, it was Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn. all of a sudden the hands go up and people wanted to discuss Google Plus, which surprised
right.
me. So tell us about Google Plus and local marketing.
Absolutely. I mean, I got to tell you, I have mixed feelings about Google Plus, but let's start with the positive, right? So I think Google Plus leveled the playing field for small businesses to be able to promote themselves through Google. So let's go back and go to days without the Google Plus. Then you have your website set up and you'd optimize it. Now, let's say you're selling electronic components online. You were competing against Best Buy with unlimited budget and their own marketing department. You're the small guy trying to promote your service so you can get a couple of sales, right, which makes it almost impossible, difficult to deal with. So Google came up with the idea that especially if you're a business, especially with a physical location, you can create your Google Plus account and link it to your physical address. And the searchers, based on their area of search, and let's say they're looking for an electronic shop in a certain area in New York, if there is a match, Google brings you up front on the first top of the first page, even before the major brand. So it gives you amazing marketing opportunity, and Google Plus is a Google product free of charge. So for small businesses, along with the individuals who are looking for jobs and, you know, using the circle, we can get into it. But I want to focus on the small businesses. It's a big deal. It's
yeah,
amazing.
No, we're focused on small business, not on job seekers.
Yeah, no problem. So your Google Plus is an amazing tool. You have to create your account. I get questions just like you did about it every single day, because if you do any kind of search, if you're looking for a plumber in New York, the list is going to come up, and 90% of them, they have not claimed their Google Plus. Right? Because what Google Plus does, since they own that product, they want to promote it. They want to show the search people who search for that product and service how useful it is. So you take advantage of that. And the other thing that's really important is Google Plus allows your customers to put their testimonials on your profile. Now, Google doesn't make it public until you have at least 5 reviews on it. And you have to make sure that they're positive, right? Because I was talking to a dentist the other day. He could not figure out why his online traffic dropped 50%. Like he kept losing clients right and left. And he said he hasn't changed anything. When you go back and take a look at his online presence, he received 1 negative Google Plus review from a client, apparently from a patient, was not happy. But what we also know, based on statistics, is that people are 3 times more likely to talk about a negative experience than a positive one. So if you're not promoting your positive experience, happy clients, someone else might come in and they put a review online which can ruin your business. So I highly recommend people to come up with some kind of business strategy to promote your Google Plus account so you have people put their positive reviews. Because the other thing we know that 72% of people change their buying decision based on a negative review, which is huge. So especially small business with a physical location, I would suggest today, if you don't have it, go claim your Google Plus account and take that link to your URL and promote it through email or whatever you do to all your existing client base and your future customers.
Excellent. Now, maybe I should have asked this question first, but I wanted to get Google Plus out of the way. What is social media, and how should business owners decide what platform is best for them?
Great question. So I'm not going to define what it is for the average user, but for the businesses, social media is nothing more than an amazing branding platform, right? You can use social media to build your brand. It creates social proof. People get to hear from people like themselves who have used your services. And you have to have some kind of social presence. We kind of touched on it, but no matter what you're selling, your ideal clients are online. They're using social media. You might be selling $1 million cranes. We might be selling perfumes or vitamins. Doesn't matter. So you have to find out who your ideal client is and cater your social media for that people specifically. So which means that you have to be posting engaging content, providing a lot of value. And social media is not the platform for solely to be used to sell your services. You can't keep pitching your products and services. It's the platform to keep reminding your brand to the people by offering valuable content, relevant content to them that they can use today. Going back to the second part of your question, so what platforms is best for businesses? This is a question I get all the time, right? People think that since they're in different industries, some platforms might not be useful for them. Maybe they should not be on social media. When you think about it, all of these social media tools, they're nothing more than tools, right? it is the same thing of asking me if a hammer is a good tool. I would answer you, it depends on what you do with that. If you're using that to put a nail through the wood, it's a great tool, but if you're using it to destroy something, it's a horrible tool. So if you don't have a strategic marketing methods and tactics using social media, it might hurt your brand, but if you use it right, it might definitely help you grow your brand and bring more customers.
Now, I think the first thing that you said was the importance of having a website. So how does website design or how does a website design plan into an online marketing strategy?
All right, great question. I mean, website is, it provides the first impression to your customers, right? That's the area. If they don't know you in person, that's how they find out about who you are. And I think the biggest mistake the small business owners are making today, they do not know if their website is mobile friendly. What do you mean by that? Well, 72% of the searches are done through people's smartphones. And if your website is not showing correctly, if you have a video and all they see is a big X, or if they have to scroll to the right, to the left to read the content, they're not going to spend time on it. They'll just move on because they're constantly distracted. Their phone might be ringing. Maybe they got a message on Facebook. So you lost the opportunity, and there's no way for you to get them back, right? That's the first thing. Make sure your website design is mobile optimized. And if you don't know if it is, just take your smartphone, if you have one, or find someone who has it. Just put your company name, and you'll figure it out. If you're not mobile-friendly, get that fixed immediately before you start working on the content of the website. The second piece is I was talking to a contractor the other day. He has no problem bringing traffic to his website, right? On an average month, he's getting more than 1,000 people visiting his site, and we identified that he's getting a couple of calls out of that. And my question to him was, what do you do with the rest of the people? What has happened to the 995 people who came and you have no information about them? So my point is you need to have a system that allows you to collect visitors' information. I'm talking about getting their email and the name. So the question is, why would they give you their name and email? Because they're tired of receiving 2,000 emails a day already. They're not going to add it to the list. So the answer is you have to provide something of value. It could be a video training about the services that you do, or it could be a free document or white paper that they would love to give their information to you in exchange for that because they want to hear from you. So that way, even though you get 10% of the people opt into that, you have 100 people every month. With a quick math, at the end of 1 year, you have 1,200 emails which you can use to market your services over and over again, and it doesn't cost you anything. We have like a seven-step process to evaluate websites. I'm not going to go through all of them, but just two of them is to make sure it is mobile-friendly. The second one is make sure you have a way to capture visitors' information by providing some kind of value to them.
Just a reminder, you're listening to the Voice of Manhattan Business. I'm speaking with Oz Konar from Massive Action Consulting and Marketing about online marketing for small businesses. If you have any questions, feel free to call in. The number is 805-243-1301. And please remember that the opinions expressed on this program are solely those of the participants and do not necessarily represent the views or positions of the Manhattan Chamber of Commerce. Oz, what is the 80-20 rule as it pertains to online marketing?
I love that principle. That's been founded by an Italian economist. His name is Pareto. So he came up with that principle that 80% of the results you get in life or in business is a result of 20% of your efforts. So if you can relate to small businesses, you get generally 80% of your revenue from 20% of your clients. So this is nice, but what do you do with this information? You can use the 80-20 to identify your ideal client, right? For an existing business with a client base, I highly suggest you take a pen and paper, go just identify the clients that brings your 80%, contributes to 80% of your revenue, make a list of them, and look for commonalities. What makes them similar to each other? Is it their personal characteristics, or is it a special niche? Or is it the years of time of years in business or certain revenue? Find out what makes up that 20%, and imagine what would happen if you can cater your online marketing only for that 20%. That's when you get the exponential growth. That's why I love that principle. We use it in our business and for our clients as well. So 80-20 rule is a tool for you to use to identify your ideal clients, whom you're happy to work for and who have no problem paying you for the services and the products that you have. It's for online marketing, when you're creating content, either through a website or through social media, when you're making a post, make sure that it follows that rule. You are catering to that those people who really care about it. You want to attract those people to your funnel.
So that's online marketing. Talk to us now and define for us what is referral marketing.
For a second, this is one of the most neglected areas in small businesses. We're all focused on bringing new clients, new customers every day. We use online marketing, offline marketing. It's all about it's always a chase to bring new customers. We sometimes ignore our existing customers who already went through the hurdle and make a decision to buy something from us, right? That's a great value proposition for us. These people already pulled out their checkbook or their cash or credit card and made the payment to get our services from us. And we can't just let them disappear and constantly focus on bringing new clients. So when you use, going back to the previous question, when you identify your ideal client, I highly suggest creating systems to reach out to that 20% of the clients you want to keep, you want to get repeat business from, and ask them for their referrals, because most likely they know people like themselves who are your ideal clients. So it's always more expensive to acquire a new client than get a new client through a referral, because your sales cycle is a lot shorter. It is easier to promote and sell your services, because the referral is coming through a happy customer, client, or patient who's referring to they're pulling their Rolodex or their phone and they're calling those people on your behalf. But don't make this a random act of referral system. Have a system in place. It could be a print material that is mailed out every week for your existing client base. It could be a webinar that you put together only for the people who already bought from you. It could be an email series or a video series. Have a system in place and have your employees or yourself just repeat that system, because this is a great tool to grow your company massively in the shortest amount of time.
Now, how can a business owner create online marketing that reflects the quality of their work?
Yeah, it is definitely difficult because of the clutter that we go through, right? Every single day, there's so many messages. I don't know about you, but I get so many emails every day, and it's definitely difficult to figure out which ones are real, which one I should pay attention to, which one I should respond back to. If it is a new brand, how do they make the great first impression on me? And I think right now the best thing to do is, instead of you as a small business owner trying to sell your services, have your happy customers do it for you. I'm talking about testimonials. We highly suggest recording 15 to 20 second or 30 second testimonials from your happy customers and put it everywhere online, of course, after getting their permission. And, of course, this doesn't apply to some fields that the information is private and you can't share it. But for other fields, you can get the testimonial and, with their permission, share it online through your social media, or your website, through your direct mail campaigns. Make sure other people are connected to people like themselves who are looking for that service. But instead of you pitching yourself, have your clients speak about their experience. So I think that's the best way to reflect the quality of your work, by actually doing it and showing other people what kind of experience they got from you. That's going to cut through the clutter, and it's going to give you great results, especially if you have a YouTube channel and you're attracting people, having a bunch of interviewing your actual clients or putting their testimonials online brings a lot more visitors based on our measurements, and actual conversion is a lot higher than usual.
With these questions, I always do it, but today I wanted to especially make sure that I succeeded and to just have a continuum so that we would build up to this last question. Now, there's so much online marketing in every industry, every sector. How can a business owner overcome the noise and be heard? Because there's just so much out there.
So much of that. Yeah, we touched on it a little bit. Let's just add on it. It has become more difficult to build your brand and make it easier for people to buy from you. I mean, back then, probably 5 years ago, if you were to touch a customer 5 times through different mediums, it could be online, offline, whatever, they will make a buying decision. Right now, that number of times they have to see and feel and hear from you has gone up to 16. So they have to have different ways of hearing from you. That's why I'm a big supporter of what we call multi-channel marketing, which means using as many marketing channels as possible. Little or big, doesn't matter, because you don't know who's seeing it out there. But if they consistently keep seeing your brand, if you provide relevant content periodically, that's going to build your brand. It's going to make the buying cycle a lot shorter for you and have people trust you. You cannot have one blog post every 3 months. People forget about you. That's why you have to have, you know, I recommend 2 posts on social media, some sort of social media a day. I know it sounds extreme, but either you hire people who can do it for you or trust, you know, experts outside and hire companies to do it for you if you have time and you do it yourself. But try to stay on top of mind for your clients, because they're getting bombarded with so many other companies pretty much offering the same products and possibly same services that you do. So you have to find a way to differentiate yourself, and that's by being in constant contact, not spamming them or providing something they can use today.
What I found is it's best not to send out blatant advertisements, but to write a post like on LinkedIn for LinkedIn Pulse that provides usable information. And then people read the post, they click on your link, and then a relationship builds from that. Because advertisements go in one ear and out the other.
Absolutely. And what I recommend, John, the people who are listening, I totally agree. I would suggest anyone in any industry, take a moment and think of what the questions people ask you. So what problems are they having with whatever product they need? And jot down all the common questions you get from those people and write blog posts or shoot videos answering those questions without really pitching your products and services. When you do that, people really value your opinion, because without asking for anything, you're giving it up front, because you know that they already have those questions based on your experience. You know what they need. Just give it up front, and when they need someone who offers those services, you're going to be top of mind, because you didn't put those glittering advertisements out there. You actually provided some kind of value for them.
You have provided us in 25 minutes with a wealth of information, and I cannot thank you enough. Before I let you go, though, you have to tell us how to get in touch with you.
Absolutely. So you can check out our website at www.massiveactionconsulting.com, or you can email me at info@massiveactionconsulting.com, or you can directly call me at my number, 201-957-6227. I love to chat with small business owners and hear the success stories, anything I can do.
And I meant to ask you and I forgot. It's not an important question. It's just curiosity. How did you come up with the name for your company, Massive Action Consulting and Marketing?
Good question. You know, when I was looking for a company name, and I looked at all the things that we have accomplished with our task lines and helping out the friends and even in my own life, it all started with me taking massive action. Yeah, it's not the perfect action, but you got to take some kind of action to get the fire started, right? Because we don't know, you can't wait until you know and figure out everything before taking action. That's why I recommend, if you look at all the successful startups and companies, they didn't know what direction they were going to go 100%, but they had this gut feeling this would work out. They took massive action. Of course, they made mistakes, but they trusted people who can help them out, and they corrected it, and that's where they are right now. And I think small business industry is suffering from that. They're too afraid. Obviously, they're working with limited budgets, and the resources are limited in comparison to big corporations. And I think if you believe in your product and service, you have to take massive action and get your voice heard. And that was my motivation to use that name for the company.
So massive means a large amount of quantity, and you make sure that there's quality that goes with the quantity. And it's not
Absolutely.
Just carpet bombing.
No.
Gotcha. Oh, thank you again. This was great, and I hope you come back on the show.
Hope to talk to you soon, Bruce. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. And I hope everyone will be able to join me next Wednesday, when my guest will be Noel Goldfarb from National Financial Network. We'll be discussing financial balance. To learn about future shows, please visit our website, www.thevoiceofmanhattanbusiness.com. Noel, are you still I'm sorry, Oz, are you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
I just noticed that we have, oh no, there is a caller, but they aren't indicating that they want to ask a question. So, once again, next Wednesday, my guest will be Noel Goldfarb. We'll be discussing financial balance. I'm Bruce Hurwitz. You can reach me at 646-368-5381 or on the web at hsstaffing.com. Thanks again to Oz, and I am certain he joins me in wishing everyone a safe and prosperous week.